evangelical candidates haven't fared particularly well in this primary season. What do you think is the reason for that?
I don't know. I'm baffled by that myself. We haven't been able to raise money, but you would think we should be able to do that. When you look at both Mike Huckabee and myself in particular, and you know, for me, I've had some difficulty based on the immigration issue because I've supported a guest worker program. I think it's part of looking at every human as having dignity, and that we should try to enforce the laws, and we should enforce the laws and build the fence on the border, but at the same time see every person as a beautiful person created in the image of God. And that's been a very tough topic on our side of the aisle. Why we haven't gotten more traction, I don't know.
Do you think that, you know, the Democrats often have concerns about the electability of, you know, of their candidates? Say Hillary Clinton is a good example. And do you think that it might scare some people that, you know, that in this point in time that evangelicals aren't particularly electable?
Oh, I suppose it could be. I think it actually probably applies in reverse more, in that the reason why Rudy Giuliani is getting support is because of 9/11 and seen as the most likely person able to beat Hillary.
I think it probably applies in that that setting more than
not seeing an evangelical as electable, because George Bush, I think, would generally be seen in that category and was elected twice.
Do you think Mitt Romney's Mormonism is an issue at all that people should take into consideration?
I don't. There's no religious test for public office in this country. Shouldn't be. I think people should run on who they are and their record. And there, I think he has some challenge based on his record. But his faith should not be an issue.
What if someone was a Zoroastrian?
Let's see what their policies are.
Or a Satanist.
Let's see what their policies
really
are. There's not a religious test in this this country, and let's see what their policies are.
Even though beliefs are so fundamental to a person, their religious beliefs, that it's more of a policy issue than it is a faith issue.
Well, I think, you know, you'll see a person by what they produce and their fruit. If you'll let me use that religious phrase, it's I think you'll know a person by their fruit, and that's what I think you'll see more coming through in people, and that's what you should look for, and that's I think you know, an observable about how they live their own life, about what policies they advocate, about what are their priorities.
If someone told you that they were scared to vote for someone who doesn't believe in evolution, what would you say to that person?
Well, I'd say to them that, you know, for my part, I think most people agree that man is not an accident. And that evolution is something that's taught in science class by state standards. They're not set by the federal government. Really shouldn't be something that would enter into their mind. It's not a federal issue. It's one that's set by the states. I think most people that are concerned about evolution from a faith side want to see more taught about the science of how we got here, both in the very start, how did we get the initial cells, the initial biological entities, how did we get this incredible physics set up of this planet, universe, that could have a carbon-based system here. And all based on science, just teaching science. And to teach more science, not less, on it. You know, and for me personally, I have no doubt that God created us. How he did it, what mechanism he used, I don't know. The fact that he did it, I have no doubt.
And you don't think that evolution is incompatible with sort of an intelligent design theory? That it could have been, we could have evolved based upon the evolution idea, you know, but that could have still been the work of God.
Some people look at it that way. I think there's some, I think that's kind of an interesting way of looking at it.
What's your personal belief on that?
I don't know. Just what I said, that I don't know how God did it. A number of people would be in what you're describing I don't know, would you term it a faith-based evolution, or that's not the term that some would call it. The guy that
works
the Human Genome Project, Dr. Francis Collins, met with several times. I read his book, The Hand of God, is in that category. And I find that very interesting. I think there's some rationality to it when you look at the consistency of the genetic code between species. There's different lengths, there's different pieces that are in it, but there's a lot of the same genetic language that's there. So where I think we're really off is we're segregating science and faith. And they ask and answer different questions. Science asks how, and faith asks why. And I think we'd be so much richer in societies in the past, in Western civilization, they did this a lot more if you had the interaction of the two, of faith and science, because these don't conflict. If they do, you need to either check your science or check your faith, but they don't conflict. And for most people's lives in the United States, they want somebody to strongly support science. And whatever we can do to understand better the cosmos and how we work and improve our lives. And yet, it's a faith-based country. You have 90% of the country that believes in God. And most people, they don't see conflicts in this, and we would be so much richer if we had the discussion rather than really trying to fit